53 hours, Beijing time.
北京人民广播电台外语广播中波77.4千赫有线调频97.8兆赫。
This is Radio 774, www.am774.com.
北京万语广播网络电台，听双语，网天下。北京万语广播
，Your bilingual station, AM 774。
大学生英语在线，你想知道的问题，你告诉他；你没想到的问题，他告诉你。最顶尖的英语专家，最有效的学习方法，雅思托福 GRE 轻松得分没问题。 Question of the day， 大学生英语在线，每天上午6:30晚上11:00与您准时相约。
大家好，这里是北京外语广播正在播出的大学生英语在线 Question of the day， 我是 Larry， 欢迎大家加入我们的 QQ 群11627447。那又到周末了啊，每到周末呢，在这个炎热的夏天呢，我们要来听一下 TED TED Talk， 在空调房间里面降降温哈。那今天呢，我们请来的专家老师依然是壮壮老师。
Hello, yes, everybody. And we're going to look at the secret to the origin of life. 啊，你看，这继上次我们探索了这个食品啊，基因工程之后呢，这次呢，我们还是要看一看这个生命的起源的秘密。啊，好，这个讲话的人呢，还是一个女士。这个女士呢，是 Planetary Explorer。哎，我就好羡慕这些人哈，他可以去探索行星。其实在我们之前也有过讲话涉及到这个外太空啊，是否还有一个地球呢？那么这一次呢是讲的火星啊 ,Mars。How Mars might hold the secret to the origin of life。其实这个火星啊上面有没有生命，最近我发现啊，专门科学家组织过地球上的人把他们呢送到火星上。
还没到呢，
让他们呢去看看能不能在那儿去生存。
其实是发射探测器到了火星上去了。
哎，说起这个 NASA， 我又想给大家提一个题外的事儿哈。我还真去到那个佛罗里达那儿呢，有一个宇航中心，就是发射这个火箭呐、这样的地方。我记得去那儿看吧，特震撼的就是，如果你想象一个房子，然后呢有一个小狗出入的那个门洞，是吧？但是呢那个房子呢你给它放大，那个出入的门洞呢是人可以出入，然后那个房子呢就又继续扩大，你能想象这个比例吗？然后这个房子呢是世界上最高的最大的一个单独一层的房子，就是它有4层楼那么高。它干嘛使的呢？它就是为了建造火箭的那个一部分基座用的。
哦。
然后做好了之后呢，它再把这个东西呢给它拉出来，拉到这个发射地点，就是那个距离不太远，但是呢，就是这个路程啊要走好几个月，因为你得特别小心。你好不容易你做了一个特精密的仪器，是吧？然后还没放到发射地呢，那个零件错位了，这都不行。所以呢，那个特别壮观。然后之后呢，我们在路上哈，大家也没下车，就是路过那个地方看的时候呢，就人家就说，你为什么觉得美国要选一个靠近赤道的这个位置作为火箭的发射地呢？你知道咱们那个神五神六在哪儿发射吗？就是西昌，对不对？
嗯，
西昌那个位置其实它和这个赤道附近发射肯尼迪航天中心的这个呢，其实它有一点是共通的，就是说那附近会是一个人口密集的地儿吗？
不是，
必须不是。为什么？
火箭发射有一定的危险性和不确定因素。
没错，
万一哈，不是说一定啊，就是万一，万分之一。历史上其实有发生过火箭发射失败的案例，在美国，对吧？那万一 这个要是发射失败了，那火箭要掉下来怎么办呢？
对啊，你不能说的话，我一下进了一个村儿，好把多少居民的房子给毁了，那绝对不可以。
对，
所以要找一个荒郊野外的地儿。
没错，怪不得哈，
嗯，
要找那个赤道附近没有人的地方。
对，没有人的地方，这是第一个特征。第二个特征呢，为什么在赤道附近，而不是在南北极附近呢？
南北极太冷了呀。
啊，太冷了，那你觉得是因为暖和吗？
嗯。
你想想那个地球是什么形的，就是说它的这个旋转速度在赤道那儿会快，还是在南北极那儿会快？
它一定是在这个赤道附近更快。
对了，
嗯，
因为它在那个旋转的时候借一下这个速度，这个离心力。
对。
让它这个推送的力量呢能够省点劲儿。
嗯，对。
是这么一个意思。
嗯
啊，所以说呢他就选择在这个佛罗里达这一块呢肯尼迪发射中心。好，那回到我们今天要讲的这个火星这件事儿哈。Well, we like to imagine little green men. It's far more likely that life on other planets will be microbial. 诶，出现这个 microbial。Microbe 我们以前在托福的这个听力中见到过， Microbe 是微生物， Microbial 呢
就是微生物的
的形容词。所以呢他说呢这个小绿人是吧，你想想这个火星上的人，估计受科幻片影响哈，大家就想这火星上要有生命就是个小绿人。但是呢他说其实最最可能的可能性就是火星上的生物其实是微生物。Planetary scientist Natalie Cabral takes us, Natalie Cabral takes us inside the search for microbes on Mars, a hunt which counterintuitively leads us to remote lakes of the Andes Mountains. 好，所以他一会儿会带着我们探索一下火星上的微生物。然后呢他呢诶顺到手我们就会发现呢在安第斯山脉有遥远的湖。This extreme environment with its thin atmosphere and scorched land approximates the surface of Mars about 3.5 billion years ago. 他说这个遥远的湖呢它的生存环境其实是一种极端的环境。好，它的空气是怎样的呢？非常的稀薄，并且它的这个土地呢是烤的炙热，就是烤的那个上面全是裂缝，你就想象一下那样的，叫 scorched land，啊。而且这个环境呢和火星 3.5 billion years, 这是多少年呢？
3.5, 咱们来算一下，一个 billion 是10亿，那 3.5 个 billion 就是35亿啊。
对了，35亿年前火星的这个环境是非常接近的。那如果说在地球上的这些湖这个极端环境下要是有微生物的话，那么35亿年前火星的这个上面是不是也会有微生物呢？这种
就有所可能了。
对了，
对，其实我们说一个地方有没有生命啊，不能光看我们人类适不适合生物，
细菌也算，
细菌啊，微生物啊，
没错，
甚至我们不知道的一些生物都有可能，
都有可能。
对
啊 ，How microbes adapt to survive here may just show us where to look on Mars and could help us understand why some microbial pathways lead to civilization while others are a dead end。好，所以他说呢，你把这儿研究清楚了，你自然你就知道这个火星上往哪儿去找才能找到微生物。并且呢，他还说呢，能够发现有一些微生物的发展进化的路径，可以最后衍生到高度的文明，而另外一些微生物发展路径最后就是死胡同一条。
没错，优胜劣汰嘛。
对呀。
对。
好，那么我们先放一下这个录音，听一下。
Well, you know, sometimes the most important thing come in the smallest packages, and I'm going to try to convince you in the 15 minutes I have that microbes have a lot to say about questions such as, are we alone? You know, and they can tell us more about not only life in our solar system, but also maybe beyond. And this is why I am tracking them down in the most impossible places,on Earth, in extreme environment where conditions are really pushing them to the brink of survival. Actually, sometimes me too, when I'm trying to follow them too close. But here's the thing. We are the only advanced civilization in the solar system. But that doesn't mean that there is no microbial life nearby. In fact, the planets and moons you see here could host life, all of them. And we know that. And it's a strong possibility. And if we were going to find life on those moons and planets, then we would answer questions such as, are we alone in the solar system? Where are we coming from? Do we have family in the neighborhood? Is there life beyond our solar system? And we can ask all those questions because there has been a revolution in our understanding of what a habitable planet is. And today, a habitable planet is a planet that has a zone where water can stay stable. But to me, this is the horizontal definition of habitability because it involves a distance to a star, but there is another dimension to habitability, and this is a vertical dimension. Think of it as, conditions in the subsurface of a planet where you are very far away from the sun, but you still have water, energy, nutrients, which for some of them means food, and a protection. And when you look at the Earth very far away from any sunlight, deep in the ocean, you have life thriving, and it uses only chemistry for life processes. So, when you think of it, at that point, all walls collapse. You have no limitation, basically. And if you have been looking at the headlines lately, then you would see that, we have discovered a subsurface ocean on Europa, on Ganymede, on Enceladus, on Titan. And now we're finding geyser and hot spring on Enceladus. Our solar system is turning into a giant spa. For anybody who has gone to a spa knows how much microbes like that, right? So at that point, think also about Mars. There is no life possible at the surface of Mars today, but it might still be hiding underground. So, we have been making progress in our understanding of habitability, but we also have been making progress in our understanding of what the signature of life are on Earth. And you can have what we call organic molecules, and these are the bricks of life. And you can have fossils, and you can have minerals, biominerals, which is due to the reaction between bacteria and rocks. And of course, you can have gases in the atmosphere. And when you look at those tiny green algae on the right of the slide here, they are the direct descendant of those who have been pumping oxygen billion years ago in the atmosphere of the Earth. When they did that, they poisoned 90% of the life at the surface of the Earth. But they are the reason why you are breathing this air today. But as much as our understanding grows of all of these things, there is one question we still cannot answer, and this is where are we coming from? And it's getting worse because we won't be able to find a physical evidence of where we are coming from on this planet. And the reason being is that anything that is older than 4 billion years is gone. Our record is gone. Erased by plate tectonics and erosion. This is what I call the Earth's biological horizon. Beyond this horizon, we don't know where we are coming from. So is everything lost? Well, maybe not. And we might be able to find evidence of our own origin in the most unlikely place, and this place is Mars. How is this possible? Well, clearly, at the beginning of the solar system, Mars and the Earth were bombarded by giant asteroids and comets. And there were ejecta from this impact all over the place. And Mars kept throwing rocks at each other for a very long time. Pieces of rocks landed on the Earth. Pieces of the Earth landed on Mars. So clearly, those two planets may have been seeded by the same material. So yeah, maybe Granddaddy is sitting there at the surface and waiting for us. All right. But that also means that we can go to Mars and try to find traces of our own origin. Mars may hold that secret for us. This is why Mars is so special to us. But for that to happen, Mars needed to be habitable at the time when conditions were right. So, was Mars habitable? We have a number of missions telling us exactly the same thing today. At the time when life appeared on the Earth, Mars did have an ocean, it had volcanoes, it had lakes, and had deltas like the beautiful picture you see here. This picture was sent by the Curiosity rover only a few weeks ago. It shows the remnants of a delta. And this picture tells us something. Water was abundant and stayed pounding at the surface for a very long time. This is good news for life. Life chemistry takes a long time to actually happen. So this is extremely good news. But does that mean that if we go there, life will be easy to find on Mars? Not necessarily. Here's what happened. At the time when life exploded at the surface of the Earth, then everything went south for Mars, literally. The atmosphere was stripped away by solar winds. Mars lost its magnetosphere. And then cosmic rays and UV bombarded the surface, and water escaped to space and went underground. So if we want to be able to understand, if we will be able to find those traces or the signatures of life at the surface of Mars, if they are there, we need to understand what was the impact of each of these events on the preservation of its record. Only then we will be able to know where those signatures are hiding, and only then we will be able to send our rover to the right places where we can sample those rocks that may be telling us something really important about who we are. Or if not, maybe telling us that somewhere, independently, life has appeared on another planet. So to do that, it's easy. You only need to go back 3.5 billion years ago in the past of a planet. We just need a time machine. Easy, right? Well, actually it is. Look around you. That's planet Earth. This is our time machine. Geologists are using it to go back in the past of our own planet. I'm using it a little bit differently. I use planet Earth to go in very extreme environment where conditions were similar to those of Mars at the time when the climate changed. And there I'm trying to understand what happened. You know, what are the signatures left? What is left? How are we going to find it? So for one moment now, I'm going to take you with me on a trip into that time machine. And now, what you see here, we are at 4,500 meters in the Andes. But in fact, we are less than a billion years after the Earth and Mars formed. The Earth and Mars will have looked pretty much exactly like that. Volcanoes everywhere, evaporating lakes everywhere, minerals, hot springs. And then you see those mounds on the shore of those lakes. They are built by the descendant of the first organism that gave us the first fossil on Earth. But if we want to understand what's going on, we need to go a little further. And the other thing about those sites is that exactly like on Mars 3.5 billion years ago, climate is changing very fast and water and ice are disappearing. But we need to go back to that time when everything changed on Mars. And to do that, we need to go higher. Why is that? Because when you go higher, the atmosphere is getting thinner, it's getting more unstable, temperatures are getting cooler, and you have a lot more UV radiation. Basically, you are getting to those conditions on Mars when everything changed. So, I was not promising anything about the leisurely trip on the time machine. You are not going to be sitting in the time machine. You have to haul 1,000 pounds of equipment to the summit of this 20,000-foot volcano in the Andes here. That's about 6,000 meters. And you also have to sleep on 42-degree slope and really hope that there won't be any earthquake that night. But when we get to the summit, we actually find the lake we came for. At this altitude, this lake is experiencing exactly the same condition as those on Mars 3.5 billion years ago. And now we have to change our voyage into an inner voyage inside that lake. And to do that, we have to remove our mountain gears and actually don suits and go for it. But at the time we enter that lake, at the very moment we enter that lake, we are stepping back 3.5 billion years in the past of another planet. And then we are going to get the answer we came for. Life is everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. Everything you see in this picture is a living organism. Maybe not so the diver, but everything else. Okay? But this picture is very deceiving. Life is abundant in those lakes. But like in many places on Earth right now, and due to climate change, there is a huge loss in biodiversity. In the samples that we took back home, 36% of the bacteria in those lakes were composed of three species. And those three species are the ones that have survived so far. Here's another lake, right next to the first one. The red color you see here is not due to minerals. It's actually due to the presence of a tiny algae. In this region, the UV radiation is really nasty. Anywhere on Earth, 11 is considered to be extreme. During UV storm there, the UV index reaches 43. SPF 30 is not going to do anything to you over there. And the water is so transparent in those lakes that the algae have nowhere to hide, really. And so they are developing their own sunscreen, and this is the red color you see. But they can adapt only so far. And then when all the water is gone from the surface, microbes only have only one solution left. They go underground. And those microbes, the rocks you see in that slide here, well, they are actually living inside rocks. And they are using the protection of the translucent of the rock to get the good part of the UV and discard the part that could actually damage their DNA. And this is why we're taking our rover to train them to search for life on Mars in this area, because if there was life on Mars 3.5 billion years ago, it had to use the same strategy to actually protect itself. Now, it is pretty obvious that going to extreme environment is helping us very much for the exploration of Mars and to prepare missions. So far, it has helped us to understand the geology of Mars. It has helped us to understand the past climate of Mars and its evolution, but also its habitability potential. Our most recent rover on Mars has discovered traces of organics. Well, yeah, there are organics at the surface of Mars. And it also discovered traces of methane. And we don't know yet if the methane in question is really from geology or biology. Regardless, what we know is that because of the discovery, the hypothesis that there is still life present on Mars today remains a viable one. So by now, I think I convinced you that Mars is very special to us. But it would be a mistake to think that Mars is the only place in the solar system that is interesting to find potential microbial life. And the reason is because Mars and the Earth could have a common route to their tree of life. But when you go beyond Mars, it's not that easy. Celestial mechanics is not making it so easy for an exchange of material between planets. And so if we were to discover life in those planets, it would be different from us. It would be a different type of life. But in the end, it might be just us. It might be us and Mars. Or it can be many trees of life in the solar system. I don't know the answer yet, but I can tell you something. No matter what the result is, no matter what that magic number is, it is going to give us a standard by which we are going to be able to measure the life potential, abundance, and diversity beyond our own solar system. And this can be achieved by our generation. This can be our legacy, but only if we dare to explore. Now, finally, if somebody tells you that looking for alien microbes is not cool because you cannot have a philosophical conversation with them, let me show you why now and how you can tell them wrong. Well, organic material is going to tell you about environment, about complexity, and about diversity. DNA or any information carrier is going to tell you about adaptation, about evolution, about survival, about planetary changes, and about the transfer of information. Altogether, they are telling us what started as a microbial pathway and why what started as a microbial pathway sometimes end up as a civilization or sometimes end up as a dead end. Look at the solar system and look at the Earth. On Earth, there are many intelligent species, but only one has achieved technology. Right here, in the journey of our own solar system, there is a very, very powerful message that says, you know, here is how we should look for alien life, small and big. So yeah, microbes are talking and we are listening and they are taking us one planet at a time and one moon at a time toward their big brothers out there. And they are telling us about diversity, They are teaching us about abundance of life, and they are teaching us how this life has survived thus far to reach civilization, intelligence, technology, and indeed, philosophy. Thank you.
好的，很快就听完了这个非常精彩的演讲啊，我们现在知道了怎么样才能够发现或者说火星上怎么样才能够有所谓的生命存在。
所以大家看这个科学研究的思路，除了这个假设证明啊，然后推翻了或者是证明了是许可的这种一种发现，另外还有一种呢，就是你找一个类似环境下，如果说这个环境成立，那么另外那个环境你再推测出来也是成立的。那如果想获得这个学习资料的话，可以加入我们的 QQ 群，群号是
116274447，欢迎加入。那今天的内容就这一些了，感谢大家的收听，欢迎大家明天继续收听我们的节目。
再见，
再见。
世界上没有不受限制的自由，
就像你有吸烟的自由，但你不能自由的吸烟，还影响他人的健康。
2015年6月1日，北京市控制吸烟条例正式实施。届时，室内公共场所、工作场所和公共交通工具内禁止吸烟。
为了更好的生活，控烟需要全社会行动起来。
讲文明，树新风，北京人民广播电台公益广告。
真正的型男不一定来自选秀场，那里给不了你一身戎装。
真正的猛男不一定来自健身房，那里给不了你铁汉军魂。
真正的女神不一定全身名牌，也可以一身戎装。
真正的女神不一定来自秀场，也可以走进军营。
来当兵吧，在军营里遇见最美的自己。北京市热血新兵招募季现已全面展开，凡是驻京普通高校在校生、应届毕业生和具有北京市户籍高中毕业以上文化程度的适龄青年均可报名。查询相关政策请登录首都征兵网首页。
好。